Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome again to the Twin Steeples Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, joined again today by Pastor Neil Radical. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota, whose main goals are to share God's saving word and to communicate the ongoing activity in Christ's kingdom at Emmanuel. Today is December 23rd, the day before Christmas Eve here in the wonderful year of 2020. Pastor, how are you?
Better than I deserve. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Today, we're going to begin with a brief devotion based on a single verse from Isaiah chapter 7. Pastor, you want to lead us through that?
You bet. So during the time of Isaiah's prophecy, at this time in chapter 7, we know that Isaiah was a prophet, not just during the reign of Ahaz or Hezekiah, but he was a prophet during the reign of three different kings. And so during this time of King Ahaz, who is one of the most wicked kings of Israel, it's important that the Lord was constantly trying to bring the people away from the idolatry that Ahaz was leading them into. Isaiah would bring God's word to him over and over and continue to remind him that the Lord wanted them to repent. And this particular prophecy is one that is very familiar from Isaiah 7:14, and it comes right after the Lord basically telling Ahaz through Isaiah, ask the Lord for a sign of what he's going to do for his people. Ask the Lord for a sign that he's still with you. And Ahaz kind of cowardly says, well, I'm not going to put the Lord to the test, basically knowing that he is guilty of everything that he's done and was rejecting the Lord, the Jehovah God. And so the Lord kind of shows a little frustration there and says, well, I'm going to give you a sign anyway, even though you won't request one. And that's where this verse comes in. So in the context of what's going on, it's in national troubles of Israel in Isaiah's day, and there's all these problems going on, and yet the Lord shows that I have this plan, I have this salvation for the world, and regardless of how the king was behaving, regardless of how the nation was behaving, he was still going to bring that promise to the people. I think there's a lot of comfort that we can see in our own days, in our own nation, in our own time, knowing that the Lord has fulfilled this promise as well. So Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. This past weekend, we talked about how the Lord was giving signs to his people and how the Jews were seeking after a sign, but then the Lord does not give them the sign that they were specifically asking for. And I think that's important to remember in our own prayer life. We could be praying for all kinds of different answers to prayers from the Lord or different signs, but the Lord is going to answer those in the way that he sees fit for each one of us and what's best for us. And so when the Lord gives a sign to Ahaz, it's not a sign that he requested. It's not what he was really looking for, but it was ultimately the sign that his soul needed more than anything else, and the nation and the world as well. And so it's interesting to see how the Lord would say the same things to the Jewish people when they were seeking a sign, when the Pharisees were saying, give us a sign. And the Lord said, no sign will be given to you except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, so the son of belly of the fish, so the son of man will be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, pointing to his death and resurrection. So ultimately, I think it's important to remember that God gives a sign through the prophet, but it's really a sign for each one of us. And the second part of that says the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. So it's a very, very specific sign. It's a miraculous sign. And so we can see the joy that it is the promised birth of the Savior who would come into the world to take away our sins. And we can see that fulfilled in Jesus. And just like we see in Matthew chapter 1, that the angels would say that you'd call his name Jesus, for he would take the sins away from his people. And this Emmanuel, of course, meaning God with us. And I know you like to remind us all of that a lot, Pastor Nauman. So would you like to comment on what I've said so far and also on that last part especially?
Well, I think when people hear the word Emmanuel, a lot of times they'll think it occurs quite often in the Bible. Actually, the word Emmanuel only shows up here in Isaiah, and then also when it's quoted in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, referring to this exact prophecy as being fulfilled in the person of Jesus. So Emmanuel isn't that common of a Bible word, and it's basically a Hebrew preposition with an attached suffix, which basically means God with us. We know Emmanuel means God with us. And I think a lot of people, when they think of God with us, they think, yeah, God's with me right now, and God will be with me tomorrow, and he's always going to be with me, just like Jesus promised. And that's certainly true. I would never discount the idea that God is with us. And Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. But really, in the context of this promise, the most important aspect of this name Emmanuel, God with us, is that Jesus became a human being. God with us doesn't mean, well, God's always right next to you, sitting next to you in your car or at your home. God with us means God left his throne on high in heaven and became a human being. He became one of us. God with us means he took on human flesh. The Godhead took on human form, and in the person of Jesus Christ, we see him as true God and true man, both fully God, born of the Virgin Mary, true man, conceived by the Holy Spirit. You know, all these concepts that we can't fully understand. Even Mary said, how can this be? The Holy Spirit, the angel Gabriel simply told her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And that's where we leave it, and we trust that God is going to accomplish his purpose. And so what Emmanuel really means, Emmanuel is really all about Christmas. It's all about how Jesus became one of us and God with us. And that's important for us to remember, especially as that's the name of our church. Emmanuel is really, the focus is not just, you know, the God is with you right now, but that that Jesus became one of us and took on human flesh in order to be that perfect sacrifice for our sins.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's such a good reminder every time we hear that word or we talk about Emmanuel, of how that's such a blessing to us. I think you described that very well. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, our Emmanuel, our Redeemer, our Savior, and the one who has come into this world to live and die for our sins, we give you thanks for your birth as we celebrate your birthday in just a couple days. Help us to reflect on the truths that you have promised to us, the signs that you have fulfilled for us, and the eternal life that you have won for us. Give us peace again this Christmas, and help us always to rejoice in the great things that you have done and have planned for us. Be with us in your saving name, we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right, a couple of announcements for everyone today as we make our way into the Christmas season. Once again, our weekly Bible studies are taking a brief break here for the Christmas season. We'll be picking those up again in the new year. So January 6th, we'll begin our new midweek online study. We're going to be going through the Gospel of Mark. Looking forward to that. Been putting that together for everybody here the past couple of weeks, and I think that's going to be a good, fun study for us as we take a look at the shortest of the Gospels and see just how the purpose of Mark as he wrote this book for us. Also, our weekend Bible studies are taking a break through the Christmas season. The next 2 weeks will be off of that, but we'll be picking up again the 9th and 10th due to, once again, our Sunday school not being open yet and a number of other factors. We're going to be doing a family Sunday school lessons, which will take place in the sanctuary both after service on Saturday and before service on Sunday. Which you can bring your whole family. We'll have some handouts and sheets for you to study and take a look at. And hopefully we'll go through some of those familiar accounts from Scripture. Maybe we can learn something that you forgot about since you were in Sunday school. And we'll have some simple questions for some of the younger participants and some more in-depth study for some of our older participants as well. The gym is all up and running now. Everything has been cured and everything's looking good in there. The Board of Ed met last night and we're working on getting a schedule for families to sign up for like an hour or opportunity to get in there during the Christmas break, since there is no practices going on right now with school, high school sports on, grade school sports on hold. So we're hoping to open it up and get a way for families to get in there and experience the gym that we've all been waiting for 6-7 months now. So look for that announcement. That'll be in the bulletin coming out soon. A way for you to sign up and get in there with your family during these cold days coming ahead, especially with this big snow coming in this afternoon. It sounds like it's going to be we're getting our white Christmas like we were all hoping for. So take a look for that gym announcement coming soon. Christmas Eve is tomorrow. As we mentioned, there's going to be two services, one at 4 p.m., one at 6 p.m. We are not doing our traditional children's Christmas Eve service this year, but we have been putting videos together with our kids reciting the Christmas story and singing a few Christmas hymns for us. Special thank you to Mr. Ben Stelter for his work on that. I've seen a couple of videos already. They're looking pretty good, and hopefully we'll should have them all ready to go for tomorrow. So you can come in person either of those, but we'll also be live streaming once again at the 6 p.m. service. Christmas Day, we'll have service at 9 a.m. Christmas morning, that'd be on Friday, and then we'll have our once again regular services this weekend, 6 o'clock on Saturday, 9 or 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Next week for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, same kind of schedule. New Year's Eve we'll have 6 p.m. service. That'll be a communion service. And then New Year's Day we'll have a special song service. That'll be at 9 a.m. again, and then we'll have the weekend services following that. Another announcement I wanted to make is we are coming out with a New Year's resolution for you. If you're looking for something to work through this coming year, we're doing an Emmanuel Reads the Bible in 2021 schedule. We'll be putting out a sheet that you'll be able to go through all year long and check off different sections of Bible in order to read through the whole of God's Word in 2021. We'll also be printing these weekly readings every week in the bulletin for you to keep up to date. So if you're looking for a New Year's resolution, something to focus your attention on God's Word in the coming year, which is something we can all use, and maybe dive into some parts of Scripture you haven't looked at in quite some time, join us for this this read through the Bible in 2021. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully we can use that as conversation pieces as we interact throughout the coming year. On our prayer list this week, Desiree Nauman, my mother, remains on hospice care due to her brain cancer. Talked to her just the other day, and she's still eating pretty well and doing pretty well and healthy, so we thank the Lord for that and pray the Lord would keep her pain down. Sonia Omundsen was called home, let's see, that would have been a week and a half ago now, and last Wednesday we had her victory service, so we thank the Lord for that blessing. Jacob Bussey is up in the hospital currently today. We keep him in our prayers. He has not been very responsive of late. Certainly his family, Dave and Julie, we keep in our prayers, and all of his brothers and sisters as well. And leave him in the Lord's hands. We're not sure what God may have in store for him, but we trust that he has a good and gracious plan for him. Continue to keep Rachel and Kenny and their children, Liam and Simon. We have not heard anything about whether they're home yet, so we're hopeful they'd be home by Christmas, but we haven't heard for sure either way yet, so we'll keep praying for them, and these young men certainly need our prayers too. Finally, this brings us to kind of we're going to substitute our doctrine of the day today and just talk a little bit about kind of just some Christmas traditions, reflections that we have in our homes. And maybe you can think about things that you do at your home and talk about all the different changes that may take place this year due to the global pandemic taking place, and just see what it really means to us this year, what Christmas means, especially this year.
Yeah, starting with some of those traditions I remember growing up with is it would always be a part of the Christmas Eve service. And I think I dreaded that and looked forward to that because, you know, once you started doing that, I don't know if it was the same for you, Joe, but once you started actually presenting the Word of God and singing the hymns, it was pretty good. But leading up to that, all the pictures and all the practices and all that stressful time, I didn't always appreciate that as much as I probably should have. But then, you know, going home after Christmas Eve service, and one of the things that we continue to still do is try to have what we call a little spread and have little mini hot dogs out and cheese and crackers and just kind of like a veggie type of thing where, you know, throughout the evening, we just kind of hang out as a family. And I always really appreciate that growing up and thought, well, this will never change. And then, of course, as the family gets older, you know, and older siblings move out of the house, then it does change quite a bit, and that those traditions aren't quite the same, but they still are great memories too. So We've always gotten a real Christmas tree. I think we had a fake one once out in California. Everything kind of seemed faked up, fake out there as far as Christmas time went. No snow and everything. But you know, that whole idea of, you know, some of those things are very special to us. We want to try to create some of those memories as far as traditions go for our kids as well. How about you?
I'm the opposite. I live for Christmas Eve programs completely. That was my jam. I went to those practices. I loved them. The bigger the part, the better for me. That was just the way that I was. I don't know, like the attention or something, but I just liked the big parts, and you know, I couldn't wait to be in eighth grade to get the longer parts and all that stuff. So I was all about the Christmas Eve program, and before and after and during, it was totally what I like to do. So but as far as home stuff, yeah, you know, you're the youngest in your family. I'm the oldest in my family. So, you know, I was kind of on the other side where the traditions kind of grew as I became older, you know, and they were there when I left. So, you know, I understand they probably changed for my younger siblings, but for me, they're kind of indefinite there. And yeah, we had some similar stuff with, you know, come home after Christmas Eve service, and there'd be some food and stuff. We'd open some presents, and we'd open more presents the next day. And but you know, singing hymns together as a family, doing devotions together as a family, and you know, those key things are, you know, I think the things that, you know, obviously now I don't remember all the presents I ever opened, but I remember the songs we'd sing together, and the devotions we'd have together, and the times of family that we'd spend together. And that's so important for you know, I treasure those things, and I recognize now how important that is for my own family. And that's my encouragement for all you out there, especially maybe younger listeners and family members. You know, you remember those traditions from your family, or maybe you don't, but your children will remember. And that's something for them to hold on to, and to see just how important this time is for you in your life. And that's the legacy you can pass on to them, if you will, is, you know, it's making sure you take time and set aside for the Lord, whether it be through attending services or doing those home devotions and things. That's something that they're going to cling to, and it's going to be important to them later in their lives as well.
And everybody's household's kind of different too. You know, the one thing I mentioned, the trees and the food and the Christmas Eve service. But I probably my favorite memory is my dad would always read Luke 2, even though we just said it at church, you know, within like 45 minutes of that. Before we'd open any gifts or anything, we'd light some candles, and he'd read Luke 2 for us. And so that's obviously been different since my family's kind of spread out all over the country. But that's always been one that's been really impactful to me. And one I haven't done a great job of setting as a new tradition for my own family, but one that still something I would want to try to aspire to. So I think, you know, the nice thing about traditions is that they can change, especially with COVID, with all the changes there. I know you and me, we both have immediate family we can hang out with, but we don't see our extended family as much as we would like to. And thankfully, technology allows us to do that a little bit better. But, you know, during this season of COVID and Christmas, we probably get sick of hearing about all the changes that COVID has brought. But it's certainly been a year to remember of how the Lord has brought us through everything up to this point in time. And I think that's something we can, again, give thanks for as we approach the new year as well. I think, you know, the one constant that we always have is the Word of God. And I think when it comes to traditions, how much more important can it be to keep that tradition of spending time with Christ in His Word at Christmas with family? You know, I always think about in Luke 2, you hear after Jesus' birth, not long after that, when He's in the temple, He's circumcised on the eighth day according to the Jewish law custom that He was fulfilling. You also have the account of Him at 12 years later. And from scripture, it sounds like every year they would always make the trip up to Jerusalem, even though it was a very long trip for them, to go to the Christmas service. And it shows that they, Mary and Joseph, were faithful in raising Jesus as a young child to be faithful in their attendance with God's word, just like you were saying a moment ago. And they kept that as far as the festivals were concerned too, and making those long trips to Jerusalem. And the same thing could be reminded for us as well. How do we continue to show the next generation how important it is, not just the traditions, but more important, Christ, not just on Christmas, but every day of our lives. And I think that's a good thing to reflect on, of keeping Christ the constant, even though everything else is changing. His word never changes. The Lord never changes. And that's just something I think is important for us to reflect on ourselves and with our families as well.
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? And that's the key. What you're saying there is, you know, he was a little baby. He obviously changed while he was here on earth as a human being, but who he is and what he did for us does not change. And from Isaiah, as we mentioned in our introduction, that talking about the Emmanuel, the God with us, he continues to be with us today. And he continues to be a human being today, even though he's at the right hand of God. And that's our main focus during this Christmas season and throughout our earthly lives as we look for his return again, when he will come to bring us to heaven forever.
Well, our prayer for all of you listening in is that you would be blessed with your family time that you can have, hopefully, this Christmas, and that your time with Jesus would incredibly bless you with that peace that passes all understanding. We thought we'd close by reading from a familiar Christmas hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful, a good reminder about God's Son, Jesus Christ, and of course, what's been announced by him and the joy that we have and the glory we can give him again this Christmas. That's hymn 102 from the Red Hymnal. O come, all ye faithful, triumphantly sing. Come, see in the manger our Savior and King. To Bethlehem hasten with joyful accord. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. True Son of the Father, he comes from the skies. To be born of a virgin, he doth not despise. To Bethlehem hasten with joyful accord. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Hark, hark to the angels of singing in heaven. To God in the highest all glory be given. To Bethlehem hasten with joyful accord. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. To thee then, O Jesus, this day of thy birth be glory and honor through heaven and earth. True God had incarnate, omnipotent word. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen.
We thank you for joining us on the Twin Steeples podcast again today. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. Until next time, Merry Christmas, and may God bless and keep you. And remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.